Anybody that's ever had a boat, you've got an anchor, right? And you toss that anchor, and the anchor point is what keeps the boat from drifting completely away. It may drift around the anchor, but it's called an anchor point. And that's the way the Lord is. He is our anchor point. We may drift a little bit here or there, but that anchor is sure and steadfast to keep us where we need to be. We're never going to be lost. Praise the Lord for that. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, this morning for our thoughts. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. When you get there, would you stand, please? Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to begin with verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you. I thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people. Lord, give me the words to say. Bring to my memory those things I studied to present your word this morning. And Lord, may hearts and ears be receptive to what you have to say. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, deal with our hearts this morning as we hear the preached and spoken word. Father, you've heard the prayer requests. We just ask that thy precious will be done with each one. We thank you for each home represented. We thank you for everyone, our guests, visitors, our members. We're just thankful that we can come and assemble in your house and in your name to worship you, the living God. Again, Lord, give me the words to say that I might present Christ. And if there's one here this morning that doesn't know Christ and the free pardon of sin, Lord, may your Holy Spirit convict and convince them of that need before it's everlasting too late. These things we ask in the blessed name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Please be seated. Morning, I want to speak to you about Jesus is worthy of our faith. Amen? He's worthy of our faith. If you'll study the book of Hebrews, you'll find that they were God's people who were persecuted. In fact, some of them were beaten. Some lost their lives. They were ostracized. Some of them couldn't buy groceries and food and stuff. And they became discouraged in the faith. In fact, there were some of them that wanted to leave their profession of faith. Now listen to me. They were still saved eternally. But what I mean is they wasn't going to, in public, profess Christ, so it'd be easier for them. And you know, it's kind of that way today, isn't it? We want it to be easier because, after all, today the Christian is starting to be persecuted. Now, don't get me wrong, we've got a long way to go to catch up with them folks back in the Lord's day. But it's coming. And some people want to just walk away. They are fed up. But let me tell you, the Word of God says that whatsoever is not of faith, according to the book of Romans, whatsoever is not of faith, it's a sin. So when we deny our faith, we are truly sinning. You say, but preacher, is it wrong to deny your faith? Yes. But I'm not saying that there hadn't been times we've thought about it. Amen. Anybody say that, oh no, I've never quit pulling my leg in yours? Because we've thought about it. What's the use? But the Lord is worthy of our faith. And I'm going to show you how this morning. So let's go back to our text and look at what verse 13 says. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, the first thing I want to bring out this morning is the Lord has the ability to know our path and our pathway. You see, not only does he see the evil and the wicked going on in the world, and oh, there's so much of that. And I'll be the first to tell you, I asked, Lord, how much longer are you going to put up with this stuff? But God has a plan and his own set of timetables that he's going just according to his will. I'm here to tell you, if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, just as judgment's going to fall on the wicked and the world, it's going to fall on you. If you reject Jesus Christ and his gracious offer and gift of salvation, you will face his judgment one day. And that's what that's saying, basically. But also, for us, he knows our pathway. Amen? The Bible says that he knows and sees the evil and the good. And he knows exactly the pathway he has planned for us. See, a lot of us think that we plan our own lives. And in our minds we think, oh, we'll direct our steps. No, the Bible says it's the Lord that does the step directing. Especially for a righteous man. Because his steps are ordered by the Lord. So he has a plan for all of us. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, sometimes his plan and my plan's different. How about you? Sometimes his plan hurts. Kind of like the little boy had a sailboat and he's at the lake and he put it in the water and he was playing with it and all of a sudden a big old gust of wind came and it began to shoot that sailboat from shore far away from him. And of course he was 7, 8 years old. He began to cry because it was a birthday present. And he's sitting there crying, and the wind was blowing, and the little old sailboat just kept going farther and farther away. Well, this older kid had never laid eyes on came up, and he looked, and he started picking up rocks and chunking those rocks at the boat. And the little boy goes, hey, why are you throwing rocks at my boat? It's bad enough. I've lost it. He goes, you don't know what I'm doing, son. He goes, I'm trying to throw those rocks to the other side of the boat so that there'll be a wave, and it'll bring it back to you. I know what I'm doing. Just leave me alone. The Lord sometimes throws stones your way and my way. He knows what he's doing. And we have to accept it. Amen. We have to accept it. Because after all, he knows the path that we're on. And he knows the path that we're supposed to take. And I'll go ahead and not charge you for this one, but this one's good. The reason we're all on the same path, those of us in Christ, is so that he might mature us and make us and fashion us after the image of his son so that you and I might glorify him. That's a fact. I read a story, oh, it's been several years ago, but it was this man and his wife, they both lost their jobs and the debts just kept piling up and piling up and they didn't know where to turn. So anyways, to make matters worse, they're in debt. The old people collection agencies are calling. The phone's ringing off the hook every day. You owe me, you owe me. To make matters worse, came a storm. And it poured. and it began to flood. Well, finally, after several days, it stopped raining and the water began to recede. The septic tank sunk. And then the backyard went with it. And the husband looked at the wife and says, "Well, you know me and you can't afford to get this fixed, so you better pick up a shovel and get after it." She looked at him and says, "You better take it upon yourself to go do the job." And he says, "I was just kidding." And he went out there and he began to dig. And as he dug, he looked, he saw a little glimmer. He goes, "Huh, I wonder what that is." And he reached over and it was a gold coin. He began to dig even deeper. And he found several of those gold coins. In fact, when it was all said and done, he had about $1.5 million worth of golden coins. Now, they thought that, you know what, this is a bad deal. They thought they were going to end up being beggars and in the poorhouse. But God blessed them and God came through for them. And that's how life is with us. God knows what He's doing. And believe me, it pays to have faith in Him. Amen. Lots of people used to have faith, but somewhere down the line they got angry with God. A tragedy came into their lives. They lost their job. They lost their family maybe. And anger and bitterness begin to spring up in their heart. "So I just won't serve Him anymore." Child of God, don't ever let that be said of you, because He's worthy of our faith. Amen. Now, notice He has a path for us. And He sees everything, the good and the bad. He sees our temptations. And by the way, anybody ever here get tempted? Sure you have. Your head like this, yeah, because we've been tempted. But you know what? So has the Lord. But you know, He was sinless. He was perfect. But can I tell you something about His temptation out there in the Judean wilderness when Satan came and tempted Him over there in Matthew 4? I don't know if you're aware of this or not. Yes, He was sinless. But not only was He sinless, do you know the Lord was incapable of sinning? And therefore that sin that Satan tempted Him with was stench in His nostrils. You see, He hates sin. And anytime the Lord is pictured here in Matthew being tempted, understand, it's a lot worse than any temptation you and I have ever went through. Because He's perfect. And we're not. But sometimes the Lord will allow temptation to come. Because He tests us. He tests us to see where we are at in our walk with Him. Had an uncle that worked at a tank factory during World War II. He's a great uncle. You know what his job was? Testing metal for tanks. And I remember him talking on the porch one time about how that's all he did was test metal. See how strong it was, because when they made a tank, that metal had to, you know, withstand bullets and rocket shots and all, and they would temper that and they would test it just to see how strong. That's what temptation is for me and you. It's God testing us to see how strong we're going to be, what we can hold. That's what it is. But He has a plan, so we go through temptation. But not only that, understand, He sees our trials. And we all have trials. He sees our temptations. And He sees everything. Whatever you or I are facing today, listen to me, the Lord knows about it and He sees it. Y'all remember over there in Mark chapter 6, the disciples on the boat and that storm was just a blowing. And the Bible says they were rowing and rowing, and the more they were rowing, the more the boat began to do this. And Jesus was walking on the water and He looks out there. But you know what it says? Very interesting. Over there in Mark 6. And He saw them. Jesus sees everything. Don't think for a moment He's not watching. He knows exactly what you and I are facing and are going through. We may argue a little bit with Him and say, oh, Lord, how can He? How can He know, preacher? He's in heaven. Don't you understand? Before He died to atone for our sins, and before He ascended to the Father, don't you understand He was human? He has faced everything we'll ever face. When it comes to temptation and trials, He knows all about it because He's human. What a Savior. That's why He's worthy of my faith. Because He knows. He also sees our tears. Anybody ever cry? I used to think that it wasn't manly. I had an old hard heart before I met the Savior. And it would bother me to see men cry. And then a funny thing happened. I met the Savior, and He broke my heart. And He softened it. And you know what? I began to weep. And I can turn on a goofy show about a dog, and there will be a sad part in that show, and I have to hide from her because I'm just like a waterfowl. Because the Lord has softened our hearts. But do you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible says that the Lord has our tears in a jar, and it's recorded in the book. Understand. He knows every tear that we shed, and He knows why we shed those tears. What a Savior. He's worthy of our faith. Amen. Look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for look at verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So, He has the ability to sense our pain. He is our high priest, and He has the ability to sense our pain. Do you know, He knows what we're going through. When we're lonely. Anybody ever felt like you were all alone? Sure you have. In fact, you can have people all around you and still be lonely. Because you say to yourself, they sure don't understand me. But Jesus does. I'm here to tell you this morning, there's been times I've felt lonely. What about Jesus? Absolutely. When I think about Him feeling lonely, you remember when He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, right before He was to go to the cross to atone for our sins, and He asked His inner circle of apostles, y'all come with me and y'all stay right here and be in prayer for me. I'm going to go just a little further here, but y'all pray. And what happened? They fell asleep, and He's there, and the Bible says that at that time, He sweated great drops of blood. because of what he was facing, what was facing him, you might say. He was grieved in spirit because he knew what was to take place. And he felt alone, even though he had asked his inner circle to pray for him. You ever been there? Absolutely. Tell you something else he knows. He's familiar with rejection. The Bible tells us in John chapter 6 that at that time many that followed him turned back. If anybody knew about rejection, Jesus knew all about it. And child of God, let me encourage you this morning. There's going to be people out there that's not going to understand you, and they're going to reject you for your stand for Christ. They're going to reject you because of the way you live, and they don't want nothing to do with it. But before you get angry and stop and want to just walk away from your faith, understand Jesus knows about rejection. They're going to reject you. But I'll tell you, someone who never will reject you, and his name is Jesus. I'll go one better than that. Speaking of rejection, when Jesus hung on the cross, and everybody there was mocking him, cursing him, spitting upon him, wagging their finger in his face. Oh, you've saved others, save yourself. Just all of that indignation toward our Savior. And that was all bad. But Jesus faced something that you and I will never face if you're saved. And you know what it is? God completely forsaking him on the cross. He experienced that. We'll never know that, because he's not ever going to leave us or forsake us. But Jesus faced it. So he knows something about rejection. That's why he's worthy of our faith. He also knows a little bit about poverty and need. Y'all ever got to the end of the month and went down the old checkbook and thought, oof. Well, I wonder what we're going to skip this month. Y'all ever been there? Sure you have. Well, Jesus said this. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He knows about needs. But listen to me, he's worthy because he can meet our needs. Remember that time they needed to pay a tax, Jesus? What did he tell Peter to do? See, they had to pay a tax. Well, they didn't have no money. Jesus would catch a hook over there, brought up a fish, and guess what? There was a coin in the mouth of the fish. So I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus is worthy of our faith. We can trust him to meet our needs. I don't care what you think about, oh, my debt's too high. Well, I'm going to agree with you on one thing. All of our sin debt was too high for the price that Jesus paid, but he paid it anyway because he loves us. Jesus also knows about grief. If anybody ever knew about grief, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember chapter 11 of John? Remember Lazarus, his great friend, had died? And he went to the tomb, and the Bible says when he saw all the folks there weeping, that he himself began to weep. But I'm here to tell you concerning grief, If our loved one knows Jesus as their Savior, it shouldn't be grief at all. It should be celebration. Amen. No more of this. No more of this. One other thing about seeing our pain. He knows all of our problems. And there's no one here that ain't got a problem. Amen? He probably looks at me and says, that's my neediest child right there. Because I got many problems. But He has the ability to take care of my problem. Therefore, Jesus is worthy of my faith. Amen. Go to the last verse. Talking about problems. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, He also has that ability to solve my problem. If we know we got problems, He's got the power to solve those problems. Go to Ephesians chapter 3 real quick. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and look at verse 20. This is what the Word of God declares. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You say, preacher, you just said that Jesus has the ability to solve our problems. Absolutely. Well, where do you get that in that passage? Three words. That is able. He's able. That's how. I don't worry like I used to. Because He's able. You see what's amazing to me? The bottom line is this. We know that He's worthy of our faith. But why is it today that instead of going to Him and running to Him when we start facing these difficulties in life, He's the last one that we go to? You see, we try to do it ourselves, and we start worrying, we start having self-pity, and guess what? We run to somebody else that we think can get us out, when if we'd have just went to Him in the first place, it would have been done. But no, we don't do it. And we should be ashamed. Because He's worthy of our faith. Now let's look at His power. Notice, He has exceeding power. We just read that. He's able. Exceeding. What does the word exceeding mean? All above. Nothing below. It's exceeding. There's nothing like it. In fact, when it comes to thrones, understand there's no throne like God's throne. Now, there's kings that have come through history, and they've had their thrones, and yes, during their heyday, they were able to issue life and death and whatnot, but their power was only based upon the power they had in the kingdom. But understand, Jesus said in Matthew, all power is given to me in earth and in heaven. You see, His power is exceeding. Praise God for that power. Right, Brother Dave? He also has need-meeting power. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches, glory of Christ Jesus. All your needs. So don't ever think that He doesn't care, He doesn't see, because He knows and He will meet your need. I didn't say want. Majority of us want what we don't need. But He will meet your need. Heard a brother in the testimony Wednesday night, Brother Bob. Never went to bed hungry one day in your life, have you, brother? Me neither. Might not have had a ribeye that thick. But I had something. I had beans and taters. I had cornbread. And by the way, if that was the last thing I could eat before I left this walk of life, that would be my last meal. I'll take beans and taters and cornbread any day. Amen? I just pray there's plenty of beans and taters in heaven. Amen? He also has cleansing power. All ye have gone astray. The Lord has cleansing power to cleanse you. 1 John 1:7, I think, is where I'm looking. 1 John 1. Yes, that's it. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, sinner friend, there's only one thing that can cleanse you from sin. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ. And His blood, and only His blood, can wash away your sin. But you have to receive Him into your heart. If you do it, He'll cleanse you and forgive you. And every stain will be gone. Also has healing power. And there's so many instances. For the sake of time, we won't go there, but I'm going to tell you. Jesus still heals today. He heals physically, but especially spiritually. Anytime a lost man, woman, boy, or girl walks the aisle and bows their knee at the cross of Calvary and invites Jesus into their heart and they become born again, that is spiritual healing. And He has the power to heal. Amen. And then, of course, He also has load-lifting power. What did He tell us in Matthew 11? Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You see, we all carry burdens. And if you're like me, sometimes you get tired of carrying the load. Jesus doesn't want us carrying the load. He said, bring it to me, I'll handle it for you. But we get so stubborn sometimes that we don't listen. But I'm here to tell you, He has that kind of power. Again, Jesus is worthy of my faith. How about you? Also has mountain lifting power. Matthew 21, saying to this mountain, be ye removed, and it shall be. But listen to me, there's a key to that. You've got to have faith. Lots of folks claim to have it, and boy, they're going to show everybody just how much faith they got. Move, move. Everybody watching, move. Where's your faith? He has that kind of power. He has one other one I want to bring to your attention. This is the most important one. He has all the power. Not me, not you, not the Pope, not the elder in Salt Lake City, but Christ in Christ alone has all the power. Again, He's worthy of my faith. So the next time you feel like giving up. Next time a loved one comes and says, you know what? God loved you. You wouldn't be going through what you're going through. Why don't you just stop serving him? The next time, kind of reminds you of poor old Job and his wife. Job was tested. You would have thought his wife would have wanted to have kneeled with him and prayed with him and said, whew, we better turn to the Lord. No, she said, won't you just curse God and die? Boy, I'm glad I wasn't married to her. Amen. Think about that. But you have loved ones that might encourage you. Walk away. And I assure you, Satan will do all he can to discourage you and say, if God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through that. Walk away. Next time that happens, hit your knees and say, Lord, best I know how, I will follow you till the end. Because I trust you. And I have faith in you. You haven't let me down yet, and you're not going to. Don't quit. Be encouraged this morning. Because again, as I said, over and over, and I pray before it's all said and done, all day long you'll think of, you know what? We need to keep our faith in Jesus. We need to keep our faith in Jesus. Why am I should have faith in Jesus? Let that sink in. Because what it boils down to when it comes very end is this. The only thing that's going to matter when we leave this walk of life is, did we know Jesus? And did we keep the faith? I pray everybody here can say, yes, I know the Lord is my Savior. But if you're here this morning and you've never exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're fixing to have an invitation and we want to give you that opportunity. You say, well, preacher, I'll think about it. I'm going to put it off for right now, but I promise you I will think about it. Maybe later on, well, the devil wants you to put it off for one. And two, you may not get another opportunity. One, you could go out them doors and drop dead of a heart attack. Or pull off onto the road and some truck hits you. You never know. But more important than that, this could be the last time God deals with your heart. He said, my spirit will not always strive with man. I would not want to take that chance. See, God does nothing by chance. If he's dealing with your heart now, he intends on you to do something. Do it. Before it's too late. Again, keep your faith in the Savior. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Brother Bob, you and